The first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up.
Our second reading is from John, which I have now can't remember, 14, that's it, starting from 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Thanks so much, Grant and Brenda, for reading for us. Nicola, for leading us in prayer. Geez, a good thing to be part of a church family, isn't it? And the blessings that proceed out of that. It's good to be with you this morning, and we're doing a special one-off sermon this week called One. In my preparation over recent weeks, I've had the blessing of reading a little book by Rory Scheiner, which I can commend to you, called One Forever, on which that wonderful skit that Mango and Sarah shared with us was based. And the big idea for today is quite simply, all one in the Lord, all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thankful that we had Mango unpack a little bit of what that Galatians 3:28 verse looks like. You know, that song that we sang is a very familiar song, isn't it? And what a lovely way to re-render it. For we are one, but we are many, and from all the lands on earth we come. I'm feeling like a lone voice crying in the desert. You may join me. We'll share a dream and sing with one voice. I am, you are, we are all Christian. And that's kind of the vibe of what we're looking at today together, because last month in September we had our series Connected, and then in October we have our series Committed. And essentially my hope is in this sermon today we can bring together the threads of what it means to be one, all one in the Lord Jesus. We aim to have a better understanding of who God is, what he is like, his son Jesus, who he is, what he is like, what he has achieved for us, and what that means for us as followers of his. Being one in him, we're dependent upon building a better biblical understanding. And as a brief reminder from our last series, we considered what it looks like to be satisfied in singleness in this life. For those who are single amongst us, all of us at some point have been single, the end game for us individually is that in the new creation, there will be no more marriage. We shall all be single. And so God is preparing us on life's journey with the picture of singleness in preparation for the future. And yet, on the other hand, in this life, we have the benefits of being betrothed, learning what it means to prepare to be a bride or a groom in a one flesh coming together in marriage, a meaningful marriage, which is a great blessing because we can relate to one another in a very special way in marriage, and signpost the end game that we have collectively, which is you and I together in Christ will be prepared for him as his bride. He, as the groom, will come to take us to be with him for all eternity. And so our marriages prepare us in a way and showcase our future together. Of course, we did also look at renewal in release. The reality is for all of us that if we're married, it's likely that we shall at some point be preceded by our spouse or be the one to precede them. Sometimes in life's journey, we have the grief and for some the relief of separation and coming together again, and then also divorce, and then also some for a season of further singleness. And such is the beauty of the diversity and variety that God has given us in our fellowship here at Fig Tree, for all of us are represented by each of those scenarios. And we have the blessing as well of coming together in remarriage for some of us. And yet, together in that diversity, we are one in him. So we're going to look at God's word on this matter, and so I'm going to ask for his help. Would you join me as we bow our heads in prayer? Father, as I say those words, preparing our heads is one thing, but preparing our hearts is another. And so how we pray that you would prepare our heads, our ears, our minds to hear your word, but also our hearts to heed your word, that we might hear and heed, Shema, the word of our Lord God Almighty, King of the universe. And also through Jesus, our loving Heavenly Father. Father, we pray that you would shape us, break us, mold us, reform us, and prepare us in the enduring name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the power of your Spirit, we pray today. Amen. Amen. 3 points today. Connected, firstly. One. Secondly, committed. Thirdly. And we're going to look at connected. We're going to do a massive sort of skirmish through Genesis to Revelation, can you imagine? And we're going to be in the company of the artwork of a Christian lady whom Sarah and I had the opportunity to meet this week, a lady called Deborah Desombres. She has done this series of artworks, 7 pieces, called Messiah. And we were so taken with them, I thought it'd be rather lovely if we could have some of those images because they all relate to the Lord Jesus and in God's providence what it means to be one in him. And as we're preparing for this series, committed, we recall that we are all connected. We're connected as creatures made by God. We are not the creator. And yet, human beings are the pinnacle of God's creation because we were made in his image. And then in relationship with the Lord Jesus, fully and finally, we become his children, forgiven and adopted into the family of our Heavenly Father. And so as we consider perhaps the camera view at the very beginning of Genesis 1, we're taken out to the wide-angle lens. The story of creation pans out. In the beginning, God made spaces, and he filled those spaces with heavenly bodies and with creatures, earthly creatures, separating light from darkness, land from sea. And then he fills these spaces and he blesses them. He puts the fish into the seas. He puts the bird into the airs. And formless things become formed. And unity is filled with suitably diverse creatures. And then God says, let us make man in our own image. He forms Adam. And man and woman, he makes them, and he says, let us make man in our image. And we say to ourselves, who's he talking to? Is God talking to the other heavenly beings, the angels, or is he just using the royal we? But I think we get a very clear indication here. God revealing who he is. He is God, one God, and yet three persons in one, Father, Son, and Spirit. That is the full counsel of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. The unity and the diversity of God himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, reflected in our unity and diversity as humanity and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the camera kind of hones in to the close-up in Genesis chapter 2. And we see, as we're taken from the heavenly perspective, the garden perspective. And we see here, man and woman are formed and they come together as one flesh in that most intimate of completion, the complementary. And they have unity under God and with one another, and they are gloriously united together. And of course, as you know, it doesn't take long before Genesis 3, where they fall into corruption, they rebel against God, they reject his goodness in favor of their own autonomy, and their relationship as God's treasured children is broken, and they are banished. And so we, so early on in the story of history, look forward to the hope of rescue and reunion. And that's what that story is. I said to you the other week that we get to Revelation and we hear Jesus wins. And we spend the whole of the scriptures watching the journey of God's people and the need that we and they have for one, the one. If you've seen the Matrix movies, Neo, the one. No, Jesus, the one. Jesus is he. It's the only one in history who's brought together both divinity and humanity. He's the only one who's united in that fullness. The Apostle John reveals to us the Lord Jesus as one. He is in the Father. And by faith, now we are in him, and he is in us. And John goes through his gospel, his long letter, unpacking these profound ideas. And we're going to spend time in 2026 together looking in depth at the gospel of John. But for now, there is divinity. When we have faith in the Lord Jesus, we enter into a union with God himself. God. You and I, through Jesus, are united with God. And yet it's a real, livable unity, isn't it? It's a dwelling together in unity in him. For the one in who, in his incarnation, in his divinity, came and took on frailty and vulnerable flesh. And he dwelt amongst us. And in his crucifixion, he made a way to reconcile us with God for our salvation, for our forgiveness, and to declare us right with God forever. And then in his ascension, Jesus took humanity and made it all it can be, immortal, raised from the dead, and enduring and preparing a future for us. And I have to say that some of us in the crowd feel that hope more keenly than others. I was up on the roof yesterday for our working bee, and I am constantly reminded that this is not 23-year-old Robin. As I'm going up the ladder and somebody's holding it carefully for me, and I do that last little bit to step up onto the top, I was feeling really quite cumbersome and clumsy. And as I'm walking across the rooftop, I'm making sure I'm stepping on the big bolty bits that were taking the weight of an over 100 kilo man. And then when I got on, they'd give me a little mat to kneel on. And so I'm going down on my mat and, you know, there I am and getting chatting with a friend who's doing it. And we're scrubbing away, and then I needed to stand up. I am looking forward to body 2.0. Are you? Maybe some of us more than others, but that's the promise. There is going to be a humanity 2.0, and I am so thankful for that. But not all of us perhaps in the room or online are going to be there just yet. Words from John Calvin, a follower of the Lord Jesus, in his Institutes of Christian Religion says, as long as Jesus remains outside of us and we are separated from him, all that he has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value to us. You need to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be on the plane. Maybe you've been thinking it's enough to admire from afar. Maybe you've been thinking it's enough just to sit under his words as I see fit. Maybe to follow from a distance. But Jesus says, come to me, rest in me. And maybe this is the moment for you. I don't know what that little objection is, that little obstacle, that little thing I like to do that I know he does not, but he will take those of us who surrender by his grace and the power of his spirit. If that is you now, it's time to say to the Lord, take me, I am yours. That's when completion comes. That is what it is to be in Christ. We are called to recognize Jesus as the one in whom we have faith to be right with God. And then I know some of us are a little less technologically sound than others. I don't know about you, but I'm finding every update I get on my phone or my computer, it gets harder and harder to work out what's going on. But there is a 2.0 coming, and we will be upgraded. And the lovely thing is that Jesus, in the power of his Spirit, does it gently at our pace, that we might gradually be repaired and restored. And as these bodies are breaking down, we are being readied spiritually in preparation to be with the Lord Jesus forever in the power of the Spirit whom he gives. And Jesus says to his disciples then, and he says to you and me now, if you love me, keep my commands. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Whom? The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Don't you? We know him. Because he lives with you and will be in you. At this point, of course, the disciples did not yet have the Spirit indwelling them. Jesus had not yet gone through his crucifixion and resurrection and ascension. We read about that in Acts 2 when the Spirit appears in a very evident way. But that same Spirit of power indwells those of us who are now in the Lord Jesus Christ. He lives with you, and he says, Jesus, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live and you also will live. On that day, you will realize I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. And whomever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Beloved, we are commanded to be committed to love one another as we have been loved. And this is the reason for this series, Committed. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind you will learn, with all your soul you will long, with all your strength you will live. As God has loved us and through the Lord Jesus, his Son and Savior, he says, we are to love. Jesus is the promised Messiah. He has fulfilled the perfect law of God, and he has loved others. He has loved you and me perfectly, sacrificially. Later in John 15, Jesus describes the ultimate love as being laying down one's life for one's friends. And yet the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 5, it is whilst we were still sinners, enemies of God, that Jesus laid down his life for us. This is love in the spotlight, brothers and sisters. As we approach the Old Testament scriptures, as we shall in weeks ahead, we can do so in the light of knowing God and in his fullness being known in the person of Jesus. For John says that Jesus was in the beginning with God and he was God. He was with God in the beginning and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing. In him was life, and that life is the light of all mankind. And though the light of the Lord Jesus is opposed in this world as the light shines in the darkness, and how dark the days are in which we live in so many ways, the contrast of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are assured that the darkness will never overcome it. So with Israel, God's chosen people with whom he has walked and talked for generations, we today as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jewish Savior, Yeshua and their Messiah, extended to the Gentiles, that all who hear, Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female, whomever would hear, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. It is the Lord Jesus who is one, and he today reveals himself through us, in us and through us. Jesus shines his light in and through us as we are in him, in our hearts as we love, in our minds as we learn, in our souls as we long, and in our strength as we live. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, for this is how God will shine his light into this ever darkening world. The light of the Lord Jesus through you and through me shone through frail and unfinished flesh so that he will make his love known through us. We are one. Though we are many and from all the lands on earth we come, we share a dream and sing with one voice, I am, you are, we are, O Christian. Let us pray. Father God, we are Christian because you, by your grace and in your mercy, have drawn us as one to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, Son, and Spirit as one, and yet we are in him and he is in us, just as he is in the Father. Father, we thank you for this assurance that this is by faith, by grace through faith. Would you grow us in faith, Father God, and would you grow us in such a way that we would be an ongoing outpouring of your love through us in the power of your Spirit, that there would be Jesus made known for everyone, forever. Amen.